Sunday on having a blessed year by design. How many today you said, I'm going to have a blessed year and I'm on purpose? All right, we're gaining momentum then. Now, last week I did tell you about, we went over, and what I tried to do last week is just give you a jump start, right? Just kind of jump start you in a new year and give you some categories. And I did make some copies for you that would like to look at this and ponder a little farther. But last week we talked about there's 10 life categories we gave out to you. And so what I'd like you to do, if you'd like a copy of this, you can just let us know. In fact, if I could get a runner, come here. Yeah, Devin, come here. You can come here. And then somebody from this side, come here. Oh, you want to help? There's about 20 of these. And if you didn't get one when they're done, just raise your hand and we'll make sure you get one. But it's just going over it real quickly to let you know what it is if you weren't here last week. We're going to set some goals, and at the end of the year, I'd like to see what progress you've made on any of these 10 areas, or it could be something else. But it says 10 life categories, spiritual life, everything about your personal relationship with Christ, devotion life, spiritual disciplines, personal worship, retreats, sabbaticals, family, devotions, you know, just whatever you want to achieve in your devotion life, spiritual life. And we put that at the top because I think if that's out of balance, everything else is going to be out of balance. You know, you get your spiritual life right with God and have that close relationship with God and you walk with Him, He just gives you wisdom to do things that you normally wouldn't do. Then marriage or single life, you know, it covers your relationship, your spouse, your dates, decision making, friendship roles, who you're going to hang out with, that kind of thing. If you're married, your life, and then if you're single person, you know, your roommates, dating standards, singleness, and etc. Family and children is an area. It includes everything related to your own children, raising your children, disciplines, school, home life, all those kind of things. Fun times. One of the things, it was in a class with some pastors this week and some other leaders, and they said that we're talking about how you feedback and how important feedback was. And one pastor says, well, I don't really practice that at home, you know, with the kids. And we talked about how important that is, even to practice that with your kids at home, feedback. How many knows they'll give you feedback if you'll just listen? It may be when you say, we're going to go here. Oh, I don't want to go that. I will go, you know, let's go to the movie. Let's go play a game. Or you say, well, that's, you know, we're not doing that. Well, that's feedback. That's saying that there's something they want to do. And so to connect and relate to them, you ought to listen to that and put that in the schedule and family time, because how many knows when you do what they want to do on occasion, they'll remember that for years to come. Years to come. That's feedback with family. Then work. What do you want to accomplish at work? Maybe you'd like to go up the ladder. How many would like to make more money this year? Just let me see. What's the matter with the rest of you losers? Come on, raise your hand. More money. How many would like to make more money this year? Yeah. Did you know? Yeah. Yeah. Not because we want to heap it on ourselves. How many knows most of us in America, we have plenty of money. We really do. We just spend it all on ourselves or spend more than we make, and so we think we don't have. But most of us, in fact, we're going to show you a little video clip in the service, and we'll get some of your money for Haiti before we're done today. Yay, yeah. And so it won't go to us. It'll all go for them. But we just want to say, you know what, you don't have to give if you don't want to, but I know a majority of our people want to, and I've already been asked this morning, can we give? And we do have an outlet through our bishops and things that we'll give, and we know that all that will go to. But your work, what do you want to do at work? You want to be in a different place? You know, do you want to be the president of your company? What do you want to do in work? I think you need to just dream a little bit and go. And then church and ministry, what would you like to do for God's house? You know, some of you mow God's grass, and some of you tend God's garden, and some of you clean God's house, and some of us preach for God's house, and some sing for God's house, or play music for God's house, and some greet for God's house, and some bake banana nut bread for God's house. So there's all kinds of things you can do in church and ministry, and maybe it's outside in the community you want to do for church. Haley was talking about working with children in a different part of our city and things. So there's all kinds of things you can do for the church. A financial stewardship. What would you like to do? Would you like to have a savings this year? You've never had a savings. Would you like to do some investing? All those things are possible for you, but it needs to be with intention. See? Little gets done with not if you don't put intention to it. You know, I mentioned last week, Jan and I have a great marriage, but it's a lot of intention is put into that. Most of my evenings after we get off work, we walk and we talk and we debrief with each other, and that's just, we're guarding that pretty heavily, you know. Probably unless you die or something, I won't come see you, you know, for the most part. Because I'm going to spend them with Jesus and Jana. Yeah. Now, if you need us and it's an emergency, we'll come see you. Or we'll send the hospital team, or so, you know, we'll take care of your needs. But I'm saying, what's important to you? Is a good marriage? Do you value a good marriage? If you value a good marriage and you don't spend time with your spouse, you're by your own admission living outside of integrity. Yeah. So it's intentional, isn't it? If you've got a good relationship with your spouse, I guarantee it's because you spend time with your spouse. You spend time with them. Okay? Physical stewardship. You want to be, how many would like to drop a pound or two this year? Well, it's just a dream unless you put wheels to it, right? You might want to create a slogan. Lay down the fork and back away from the table. Or, you know, just a new slogan for the year. Whatever. Physical stewardship. You want to be in good shape. Personal development. What would you like to do personally? This morning when I came in, Haley was sitting here and she was writing. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm doing my homework. She's making flashcards so she can learn Spanish. Personal development. I told her, I said, you know what? That's what I'm doing at home. I got me a little, it's like an elementary book, and I've got that in Rosetta Stone, and I'm learning Spanish this year. Hola. That's about as far as I've got so far, but I'm going to learn. Yeah. I know a little more than that. But it's fine. It's personal development. Are you working on a personal development plan, or are you going to be at the same place at the end of this year than you was at the first of this year? I think we ought to all be students. You know, I know the nicely study the Bible on a regular basis, you know. They're students of God's Word, and they'll be a little more knowledgeable at the end of the year than they were at the first of the year. So personal development. What do you want to do? Social stewardship. We're too busy anymore for that, aren't we? To have social stewardship, you know, to go out with friends and just have a meal and to you know, what do you want to do in that area? We're trying to get better at social stewardship and going out and stuff. If you'd like to go out and eat, call us. We'll go out and eat and fellowship and things. Recreation and hobbies. What kind of fun do you like to have? How many knows you need to put fun in your plan this year? You know, I don't care who you are, you need to put fun in your plan. For some of you ladies, it's just fun to go out and shop. Can I get an amen? Amen. And don't forget your financial stewardship when you're putting that in your fun. But if you do both and you keep it in balance, that can be fun. My wife is still having Christmas. Is your wife still having Christmas? Yeah, she likes to shop. That's what she does. She don't fish, she don't hunt, she don't, you know, so she likes to shop. So that's her recreation, just go out and look at the mall and walk. And so those are 10. Did anybody not get one of these at 1-in-1? Everybody got one of these at 1-in-1? Okay, good. This is just to get you jump started, but it's a good thing to look over and ponder and have in your toolbox, okay? Everybody got your Bible and you ready to learn? We're going to talk about developing a SMART goal for this year. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And if you're here and you say, I don't like that, well, don't say it. But don't criticize us. We like to say that. Some of us just need reminding that, you know, this is my Bible and we can do exactly what it says we can do. Turn with me to Luke. We want to go back to our original text because this is when we're having a blessed year by design, we're going to talk about, how many's ever heard of a SMART goal? If you're a student, you probably have, yeah, a few of you. Just a simple little, like a little acronym that just says, here's the way, if you're going to put a goal together, you need to consider these things. And so most of the colleges now are teaching this. If you're in business or leadership or what, you'll go across this if you're a student in college or higher learning. But we're going to work on that today because this is what Jesus did. Jesus, He set the example in setting goals. And so I just wanted you to look again. We'll visit this every week because this is the meat. This is the foundation. But Jesus said in Luke 19 and 10, he's visited Zacchaeus and everybody's grumbled because he's going home to be with a sinner. You know, they're upset because Jesus is hanging out with a sinner. Yesterday in this round table we were having, one of the pastors, he said, is as a life coach. We just got our national certification and our degree in life coaching. And he says, I asked a professor, I said, do you stress or let your non-Christian clients know that you are a Christian? Actually what I asked him was, I said, if an issue comes up and you're coaching someone that is not a Christian or of another faith, and you hear a character flaw in them, something that contradicts what the Bible calls a character flaw, you know, they say, I hate that person, or I'm, you know, I have a little fun on the side with my wife, you know, with my girlfriend, and they're married, or, you know, and I know that's a big thing, but I'm just saying it's any of its character flaws. And if you hear that, do you address that, or do you try to go there? Or if your client is doing very well and in reaching his goals and for what he or she has hired you to do, do you just let that rest or pray about? How do you handle it? He said, I probably wouldn't address it if they were achieving their goals and they're doing what they hired me to do. And it just blew one of the guys away. And he said, well, they're going to know up front you're a Christian. And I said, well, I probably won't tell all of my clients that I'm a Christian. And that really blew him away. And it kind of reminded me of this group, so I'm saying this, you know, that you're going to coach somebody that's not a Christian, you're not even going to tell them you're a Christian. Well, that's not what they've hired me to do. They've hired me to coach them on a goal, and he just could not believe I wouldn't tell them. That's deceptive. That's deceptive, he said. I said, well, I'm not lying. I'm not going to say they asked me if I'm a Christian. I'm proud of my faith. I said, but what I'd like to do is be light, so much light that they just know there's something different about you. How many knows what I'm talking about? Did you ever see Jesus going around and say, I'm Messiah, I'm here? In fact, he tried to keep it quiet wherever he went. Shh, don't tell anybody. Because the crowds came because he was such a light that they drew around him. And that's what I want to be. I want to be such a light that people just like to hang around. You know, it should be a goal of ours to say, I want to have so much love for others. You know, we have fun and sometimes people don't like my personality. I understand that. Usually, if you hang around a while, I get under your skin. How many just, I grew on you after a while. Let me see. See, all over the building, yeah. So if you hang around, and I understand that. Some of you still grate on my nerves from time to time. But you didn't even know it, did you? Yeah. And it's not just Olin, it's others of you too. We were talking about our visitors. I said, this is one of our pillars of our church. And he says, this is a pillar? I said, well, I didn't say he was a good pillar. He's just a pillar. So we had a little fun with him about that. But he is a pillar of the church. But my point is they grumble when Jesus went, and so we'll have different views and different, but the basis of what he says, here was his goal. And you have to have a foundational goal in order to keep going, because I'm telling you, people will criticize you for doing good. I can't imagine that. And that's one of the things that most young Christians, they get into a mode where they say, I can't believe, you know, they grow a little bit, and then somebody in the church criticizes them, and they say, I can't believe they criticized me. I was just trying to do good. Well, somebody thought what you were doing wasn't exactly what needed to be done, so that's how it came out. It came out critical. And I can't help that. And in fact, I think if you want to know the truth, I think that that God plans that in our church. I think he, some of you have the gift of criticism. Can I see your hand? It's just going to happen. You just know if you're leading something, or even if you're not, you're trying to do something in the church or out of the church, you're just going to get criticized one time or another. It's just the way it is, and I wish it wasn't that way, but I think God put that in there so He could see what's in us. How many knows if you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Orange juice. And if you squeeze a Christian, he's wanting to see what's going to come out. How many stumped your toe lately or smashed your finger? What came out? Was it good stuff? Yeah. What was it? Yeah. So when we're under pressure, that's what comes out. Jesus is under pressure because they're talking about him and he don't care. And I'm telling you, that's the attitude you'll have when you have a set goal that you know it's a God-honoring goal that you're going to achieve. And this is what he said in verse 10. The Son of Man, he's talking about himself, has come to seek and to save that which was lost, bottom line. That's what He came for. He didn't come for Him. How many knows He left the throne of God and He left the perfect atmosphere to come here in this atmosphere, which Satan is the prince and the power of the air with all of his influence and all of his imps, and he is out to kill and steal and destroy. That is the devil's mission statement, and that is his goal. He's out to destroy the church. E.V. Hill one time, I was just a young preacher, and I used to love to listen to E.V. Hill, and he said, if Satan had the power, every Christian would be dead before nightfall. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and so we don't have to worry about that. But he does want us to be aware that Satan has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. In fact, anytime you feel like an extra pulling at you that says, trying to pull you off God-honoring goals, is probably the influence of Satan pulling at you and agreeing with you and just agging you on. Saying stuff like this, well, you know, no one will know. You know, it's okay. God understands, and it's something that's contradicting His Scripture. How many knows it's not okay? It's not okay. So, he has the foundation. And so to put a SMART goal together, if you have your bulletin, you'll look on the back of it, and Eric's putting this on there every week for us. But it says a goal, and I'd like for you to just take some real time this week and write down out of one of these 10 categories, or one or two or three. The way I suggest you do it is just say, which area do I really need to shore up? You know, because you can't drive 10 of them all the time, you know. So which one is doing really well? If that area is doing, family is great, but you know, my spiritual life is suffering. Well, shore that one up. Make you a God-honoring goal in that area. Or maybe your relationships are suffering, but your spirit life's good. Well, make that your number one goal. Whatever. Your work, you really need to shore that up. You know, you're not where you want to be and you're not on the right track. Well, make that a God-honoring goal. But say on there, this is the number one. This is a high priority. And then make it SMART. And a SMART goal, you notice there under that little, it says SMART goal, is the S stands for specific. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then last week, He said, I am not come except for the lost sheep of Israel. And so He took He said, remember I told you He's not coming to Oklahoma. When He was here, He's saying, I'm not going to Oklahoma, I'm not going to Texas, I'm not going to this country and that country and to these people and that people. When He was here, His goal was the lost sheep of Israel. And so He made it very specific. And I mentioned this, and I'm going to say it again because it's so... And if you didn't write it down last time, you need to write it down. Clarity is power. The more clear you are about a goal, the more power you're going to have in initiating that goal. I mean, just be as clear as you can. And you look at any athlete, when they were little, they had one clear goal. You know, if it's a basketball player, I want to play for the NBA someday. I mean, just as clear as a crystal, you know. I want to go to the NFL for the football player. You know, they made it clear. And the more clarity you make in setting your goals, the better chance you're going to have of achieving that goal. So make it very specific. That's what Jesus did. Just get as clear as you can about it. The M stands for measurable. Measurable. Let me show you a scripture. And go to Luke, the 4th chapter. Sometimes it's hard for us to do a goal because it's not measurable. You know, we're not specific enough to where we even know. When we get there. In other words, if you say, well, you know, for you guys, say, I'd like to be a better husband. That's my goal this year. Well, how are you going to know if you're a better husband? What if she don't say anything? Because she thinks you really aren't a better husband. I want to be a better mom. I want to be a better college student. I want to be a better praiser. See, that's not very specific, is it? Well, what does that mean? Are you going to practice more? Are you going to set practice? And what is your goal? How will you know? What would it look like? And get specific enough to say, if I get there, I'll know, because this is what it's going to look like. Jesus said in Luke, the 4th chapter, in verse 18, He got up and read this in church, and He's saying, this day this Scripture is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, this is my specific mission on this planet. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And that's pretty specific, isn't it? He didn't call me to the rich. He didn't call me to the famous. He called me to preach the gospel to the poor. And then He says, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." See? That's very specific, isn't it? "And He has to proclaim liberty to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And how many knows He got up and did that every day of His life once He began His ministry? That's why people just thronged Him wherever He was. He had no announcements, no bulletins, no internet with a web. He had none of that, but He did His mission statement with a clear picture every day, and it was so clear and so powerful that people would just come and would throng Him and mob Him because they said, "He's got the goods." But it was because He was so clear about what He wanted to do. And that's why He spent hours and hours in prayer, and somebody put it this way, He did one miracle after another, going from prayer meetings to miracles, prayer meetings to miracles. But He was so clear and specific in what He came to do. And you could not pull Him off that. He didn't want a house, He didn't want a castle, He didn't want a throne, He didn't want a title, He didn't want any of that, and He didn't have it. He said, "I don't even have a home to lay my head down at night. Because that is not my mission. It's not what I came for. God will provide all that, but this is why I've come." And He got very specific about why He came. And all I'm saying is, if you really want to achieve, in fact, I believe there's so much talent and so much blessing in this house, that if you really want to, I think you can go from where you are now by the end of the year. You'll be amazed at the strides you'll make if you'll make it specific. The more blurry it is, the harder it is to get there. You say, "Well, you know what? I'd like to double my salary by the end of the year." That's a God-honoring goal. You know, unless you're just wanting to shop and, you know, buy drugs or do something illegal with God's money. "I'd like to heal all my relationships by the end of the year." That's a God-honoring goal, isn't it? You got some relationship that needs some healing? And then you get very specific with that. And here's how I'm going to do it. First, I'm going to begin to pray every day over these relationships. I don't want, at the end of the year, I don't want to go through one more year with this kind of relationship with that person. Maybe some of you need to change your goal. Your goal right now is that other person would just go on to be with Jesus as soon as possible. In a loving way, of course. You're Christians, right? So maybe some of you need to change your goals and say, "You know what? I don't know." And maybe some of you have already given up on that goal, but to say, "I want restoration in this area with that person and or these persons," whatever it might be. And you begin a process where you say, I want to have it so that we can talk and so that we can be cordial at least by the end of the year. And I want my part to be so that I don't have any ill feelings toward them when I'm in the room with them. I want to have so much of Jesus in me by the end of this year or 6 months or whatever you set. This is my goal, and God says, "I will give you the desires of your heart." See? But you got to get specific. That's very specific in what He said. And so the clearer you are, the better off you're going to be. So just make it as clear as possible and make it specific. And make it measurable. He's measuring what He's going to do right there. That's what it's going to look like. When I'm in the fullness of my ministry, people's going to be healed. Blind eyes are going to be opened. People are going to be set free from demon activity and other things. And so He had it so clear. And that's what He did every day. And so when He got there, He knew exactly He was doing God's will. Because that's what it looked like. That's what He had already put in place, if you will. And then the next one is A for attainable. Attainable. How many knows that if you're going to set a goal, it needs to be attainable? And I think most of the time we don't have a problem of setting them too high. I think most of the time we have a problem of setting our goals too low. I really do. You know, we use just a small fraction of our brain. For some of us it shows, doesn't it? But I think there's two things. When you talk about attainable, there's a couple of things here. One is, you have to be able. You have to have the ability. If it's going to be attainable, you have to have the ability. You know, I'm 54, And if I said, you know what, I got a new goal this year. I watched the Thunder, and I really want to be a main. I want to be on the main team of the Thunder. Y'all pray, okay? How many would pray for me? How many would pray like this? Bless that stupid man, Lord. I'm not going to be an NBA player for the Thunder or any other NBA team. I'm too old, and I'm too short, and too pudgy, and you know I got too many things again. I'm never going to do it. But what if that was what I really wanted to do? Well, I just need to get real. Max DePriest says, first thing to, if you want to achieve something, is define reality. You know, and so let's define reality. The kids say, get real, you know. So you got to get real. And so I'm not going to do that. And I, you know, there's things that maybe some of you would love to just get up and sing. And the problem is you don't have you can't carry a tune. You don't have it. Well, we don't want to hear you make a joyful noise, though. Evelyn said, make a joyful noise. Well, just make it at your seat if you can't carry a tune. And it's not about not loving you, is it? It's about saying, it, you know, if somebody got up every Sunday and they're leading, I'll raise their heart, you know, and that was like a, you know, somebody screeching their fingers on the blackboard, we'd all wait till after praise to come to church, wouldn't we? So we just have to love you enough to say, you don't have the ability to do that, you know. And we've had to tell some people that really wanted to sing in the choir, you know, in the praise team. And we'll say, well, let's hear you sing. And say, oh, I think God is calling you somewhere else. Is it attainable? Is it something you can do? Some of you might want to make a lot of money so you can start a charity project or do something that's worthy, but it takes money, doesn't it? And so you may say, I want to have a yearly income of $1 million because I want to start an orphanage or whatever it might be, some kind of a cause, but you know it's going to take money, and you just feel like God's given you ability to make money, and you've connected the two, and that's God-honoring, you know. But how are you going to do it, and is it really attainable or not? Can I be honest with you? I think most of us sitting in this room have the ability to be a millionaire before we die. Really, and I'm just as serious as I can be. Because we live in a land that will pay that kind of money, especially if you want to work two or three jobs. But how many knows most of us would have to disrupt or really go against our other values because we'd have to work so many hours that we couldn't do family and we couldn't do pleasure and we couldn't do all these other things. In fact, I see people do that, don't you? They just work three or four jobs and they're, you know, they got plenty, but they just can't give it up because they're just, you know, that money's driving them and driving them and driving them. So their values get out of order. I knew a young dairy farmer where I came from. And that was his goal, to have $1 million. I'm going to be a millionaire. And he achieved his goal at a young age. But and probably about middle age, he died of a heart attack and went on to be a Jesus. Spent way too much time on his goal. I thought all the hours he spent working and doing, because they had a couple of business, that dairy thing and then a dozer business, and he's always working. And I thought, how much did he enjoy before Jesus came? Because how many knows we don't know when we're crossing over, but you know, is it attainable? Do you have the ability to do what you, you know, and that's something. Now here is the exception: David and Goliath. How many knows David really didn't have the ability to take such a huge guy down? Goliath has the armor. Goliath has the talent. He's a trained warrior. He has everything going for him except for one thing. God said, "Get him, David." And if God looks at a big obstacle or a big giant in your way, and it's a lot bigger than you are, but and you know you can't obtain it in your own right, but God says, go get them, Dorothy. Then you can do it. In fact, what was so amazing about that whole story is not only could he do it, but guess what? The weapon that God used was in the camp all the time. It was there around everybody. As the soldiers went down to the little stream and they drink, probably one of them saw one of the pebbles that David would pick out of there because he had a different vision. He had a goal to take down the devil's biggest, baddest giant. And when he looked at the stream, he didn't just see water. He saw the ammunition of God. And that's what I'm talking about. Whenever God gives you an assignment that's bigger than you and it's beyond your ability, don't hesitate because you've already heard from the throne and this is just something you've got to do. You'll see that once in a while when a mother's son gets killed by friendly fire or something happens in some country and they can't find their child, and they'll develop new laws. And it's a lot bigger than that mother. But because of the passion, how many saw The Blind Side? Is that the name? Wasn't that an excellent movie? This family that adopts this big kid, you know, and it's a white family adopting a black child, and but it's an amazing story, and of how they adopted him and loved him, and now he's in the NFL. True story. It's based off a true story. In fact, the football team, when he was signing up for college, when he's going to college, the people that NCAA. Thank you. I don't know why I could think, but they bring him in, and they says, okay, now they're thinking this prominent white family with a lot of money has taken this child in because they had a strategy to make him go to Ole Miss, to their school. You know. And the family were pushing for Ole Miss because that was their college. That's where they grew up. That's where their blood was. They, you know, but nobody takes a strange kid into their home because, you know, I don't think they do. And they said no, you know. But remember what I told you a while ago? When you're doing something great and it's bigger than you, somebody's going to shoot at you, right? And so you just keep up. But it's bigger than they were. It was bigger than he was. And they all say that. It's a God thing. And it brought them together. And it's a great story that millions, they made, what, over $100 million, I think, off this movie? You know? It may be bigger than you, but if God calls you to do it, just go for it in Jesus' name. And go for it if no one believes in you. How many knows no one believed in David the day he took that field? In fact, if you were standing on the sidelines, you could have got a bet. I'll lay 1,000 to 1. Anybody want 1,000 to 1? I mean, you could have got that kind of bet that day. Because nobody believed in David. But you know who believed in David? David believed in David. Because he had been killing giants out in secret, out in the pasture where God had placed him. And if that's you, you know, you hadn't killed anything that big in public, but you've been out killing giants. You've been killing that hate that come up in your heart, and you've destroyed that. It's no longer there. It's no longer ruling you. You've conquered that jealousy that came and used to be eat up and consumed with. You've conquered that out in the battlefield where nobody is looking. You don't have that anymore. You've been out conquering giants, and all of a sudden God calls you to do one in public. That may be the time to just say, I will. I'll go. You can send me. And get your little slingshot and get on out on the field. But you have to be, you have to have the ability, you know, it needs to be within your means. And then the second thing about making it attainable is you have to be willing. That's the hard one, isn't it? There's so much talent in this room, but because you're not willing, you'll never make your goal. And that's the sad part. When God gave the 5 talents, the guy was willing. When God gave the 2 talents, the guy was willing. When God gave the one talent, guess what? He wasn't willing. So he took his money and he buried it in the ground. He done nothing with what God gave him. And that's where some of you are today. You've got so much talent, but you're not willing. And so you'll just bury it. And you'll never look at God in the right light because you're not using the talent He gave you. The most exciting people on the planet are people that are using the talent God gave them, whether it's just 1 talent or 10. But they're using it, and they're just like, how are you doing today? And ain't God awesome? And you know, because they're doing something for Jesus, they're using their talents, and they're just excited. And you think, why are you so excited? You live in a little house, or you got this little thing, or you know, and they're just excited because they're a part of the kingdom of God, and they're just using their talents for Jesus. I see that in the kingdom all the time. Just, it's not about stuff. It's about being on purpose road. I mean, knows God laid out a plan for you before you was ever born. And if you're running in the room of hard knocks, it's because you're way over here. So here's God's plan, and you're way over here. I'm way over here. You know, we're off the path. I mean, knows the way of the they call that transgressor, because we're over here doing our own thing. And God said, hey, it's a hard road over there. Why don't you come back over here? And we come back with knots all over our heads thinking, phew, I need to get back on the trail. We have people all the time come in our church. They've been out in the hard knock road, and they come in, phew, They see you get back on the trail. And they get healthy for a little while. And it's amazing to me. They get a little healthy and they think, I may just go back out there on that trail for a while. That wasn't that bad. And you know, and here they come again. And thank God you're still here as the church saying, come on in. Jesus loves you and we love you. And we're going to have a good time. I thank God for my faithful sheep that are here every Sunday. I don't have to wonder if you're coming. You just come. And the rest of you, just a side note with the rest of you that hit and miss, if it was all the churches, people like you, there wouldn't be any churches. Yeah. I just killed some people, didn't I? That's all right. We'll have a funeral once they're gone. I'm just telling you, when you show up on Sunday and you're a faithful few, You're light for those that come that's been on the beaten path and they said, I just want to get over here and try that for a while. And we all do. We're all the prodigal son at one time or another, aren't we? We all are. We all are. Young man told me last week, he's here today and I won't embarrass him, but he said, I just need to get back in church. And I thought, I am so proud of him. He's back on the path. And I just pray that he just stays on the path and grows and finds the purpose of God. And that's good stuff to me. That's why I exist. That's why this church exists. But you got to be willing. Listen to the Holy Spirit as you're putting your goals together and say, I want to be willing. I want to be willing. You know, I want that to be me. God, what do you want me to do? And I'm going to do it. Just start disciplining yourself to do whatever it is. Some of you've got some goals, physical goals, financial goals, personal development goals, and you've just laid them to the side because you've tried everything. And just stop trying and just start making a goal and just say, I'm just going to head toward the goal. I'm not going to struggle toward the goal. I'm just going to do easy steps. And I'm going to do another easy step, but I'm going to make it a goal. And here's something I've learned. Goals are not God. We talked about that last week. Goals are not God. They're just something you set out there to shoot for. But here's something that I had to be coached into doing is pulling my dreams back out in the light and looking at them. One of my dreams is to leave an inheritance to my kids and grandkids and their kids is to leave one section of land somewhere within maybe an hour of Oklahoma City so they can put a log cabin or they can, and with a lake on it or, and well, they can go out and just hunt and fish because that's getting harder and harder to find. And I'd just like to do that for my kids someday. And so I had just kind of pushed that aside because land is really expensive and all these things. And I thought, you know what? And my coach said, why don't you just pull it back out in the light and look at it? Don't cost anything to dream. It don't cost anything to dream, does it? Just a little time. He said, just pull it back out in the light and look at it. And so some of your dreams that you've had. And so I pulled it back out in the light and looked at it. And he said, here's the difference. And I'll give you this. It's a powerful statement. A dream is just something you'd say, you know what? I'd like to do that someday. I'd like to achieve that, have that, develop that, be that. And here's the difference between a dream and a goal. A goal is if I want to section land at some point, I want to make it a goal, I'll put wheels on it. See, a goal has wheels on it. In other words, you've got an action step you're going to take. A dream is just, I would like to do that. I think that would be cool to leave that to my family. And I've got a little plan. I think when Janet dies, I'll sell all of her stuff and I'll buy the land and leave it to my kids. I'm just teasing. Don't tell her that, okay? I'd be in real trouble. It's on tape, isn't it? Yeah. But pull that out and maybe God says, maybe you've wanted to do something in ministry all your life. Man, but you say, oh, that's bigger than me. Well, just dream a little bit and see if God connects, makes a connection there. You might be a lot more powerful than you think for the kingdom. So, is it attainable? Willingness and ability, those two you got to put together. Is it relevant? Does it really matter? You know, does it really matter to you? Because here's what I know. If it didn't really matter to you, you won't achieve it. If it's a great God-honoring goal, it really has to be relevant. It has to say something that's my passion. That's what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate enough about it that I'm not going to let this fire go out. Is it relevant? How many knows, I don't care what you'd have done to Jesus while he was here, you could not have pulled him off that goal. Every day he got up and he was threatened with his life. You know, people, they beat him before he went to the cross to a pulp. They plucked out his beard. He was a bloody mess. If you've ever seen The Passion of Christ, that's a good depiction, I think, of what he really looked like. And it is it's a gut-wrenching scene, isn't it? You know, it still chokes me up to think how they beat him. And I can remember sitting in the movie theater saying, they need to stop. And, you know, just like I am now, just that going up in my throat and saying, they need to stop. Some people came out of the movie, I remember when it first came out, and they said, I just didn't like that scene, they shouldn't have put that in there. I thought, no, they brought us home to reality. But his goals and his dream was so relevant that they could not beat it out of him. They put thorns on his head, and he was a bloody mess. But on the cross he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was attached, and it was as real to him as his very breath. That I come to seek and to save that which was lost, and this is why I've come. I will not ask. When he went to the garden and he says, this cup can pass, let it pass. That was the last prayer he prayed. And he set his face toward going and fulfilling God's will because it was relevant. This is what God has called me, ordained me, and put me here to do. And if you have that kind of a heart toward a goal, I guarantee you'll make it. If you have that kind of compassion and determination, you'll make it. And if you don't, it'll just wing, you know, go by the wayside. And here's the heartbreaking part. Some of it is so needful. Some of your goals and your vision that you have that God wants you to do is so needful. And it'd be such a blessing. But you don't want to do it because it'd cost you. But you know it's relevant. So I'm praying that God will just stir us up to say what it is. And the last one, is it time specific? Is it time specific? Let me show you a scripture quickly and we'll close. Look at John, the second chapter. Is it time specific? Is this the time? In other words, is it time to launch this right now, or should I wait? Or, you know, because if you plan something out of God's timing, how many knows it's very difficult. But if you plan something in God's timing, man, it's powerful. Here's what I know. Everybody needs a support team around them. Listen, for some of us that are independent souls, I'm telling you, we think we don't, but we do. We need a support team around us that we will be accountable to on our goals. Everybody needs an accountability partner. And if you're serious about a goal and serious about living some way and achieving something, you'll get an accountability partner and say, will you hold me accountable in this area? You want to lose 20 pounds? Tell somebody. Tell them, if you see me eating a cookie, you can jerk it out of my mouth and slap me over the head with it or something. You know, you make up your own accountability. You know what I'm saying? I want to start a savings account, and if you see me, you know, being irresponsible, I want you to hold me account. I want you to ask me. But everybody needs accountability. This is a story talking about, is it time specific? Is it time to launch or not? You need to say, this is it. This is God's timing. I'm at it, and I'm going to make a public declaration. I'm going to make this. But it says in John 2 and verse 2, now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. I love this story. Can you imagine Jesus young? He's about 30 years old, and Mary knows that this is the Son of God and what awesome responsibility she's been given. And I think it's so amusing that God talked to the mother and not Jesus at this point. And I think probably he had already talked to Jesus, and this young man, Jesus, that was fully God and fully man, said, I think he's squirming like we squirm when we think this is a God thing and it's bigger than us. And we've never done that before. Anybody been put in that position? Like it's a God thing? When I first came to, the call to a pastor came, and I thought, wow, God, what if somebody comes in our church and they're smarter than me? And I could hear heaven chuckle, and he said, Jack, everybody that comes in will be smarter than you, so relax. Didn't help me much, but I got the point. And then he said, I call the dumb to confound the wise, dummy. Here I are. But I can remember squirming, thinking, man, it's awesome responsibility, and I'm not ready. But I knew the call was clear. And Jesus, she says to him, Mary says, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? And Mary's like, oh, really? Some of you mothers, you know what she's going through right here. When you tell your kids something, they say, oh, no, I can do that. You know, and you think, oh, yeah, you think so, huh? We'll get you some of that. See? He's not all that different from us. He was fully man and fully God. So here goes. He says, my hour's not yet come. And, you know, and so she says to the servant, whatever Jesus says to you, whatever my son says to you, do it. And she leaves him squirming, see? It's your time. Is this the time that God said it's never going to be the same again? It's going to be different now. I've called you and I've put you on a different path. And today, at the end of the year, you'll be amazed at where you are if you'll stay on this path. Now, you can get on plan B if you want. You can, but he says, now there was a set of 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of the purification of the Jews containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus, I believe, has already heard, and Mary just, that's his confirmation that it's time. It's, son, it's time. He says, oh, no, it's not time. She says, yes, time. Jesus says, okay, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them with the brim. And he said, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water, that it was wine, and it did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn out the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. This begins the signs Jesus did in Canaan of Galilee. It's time specific. It's time to launch. Some of you, you know, the Holy Spirit's already dealing with you about goals and one of these areas and say, it's time to launch. It's your time. Will you be willing? I think most of you have the ability, but will you be willing? Listen, God can take the process of taking a grape seed, putting it in the ground, growing a vine, growing a grape, meshing a grape, putting it in a bottle, letting it ferment. He can bypass all that in one split second and go from water to wine. I think He can do great things through you if He can do that. If you'll believe this year. You believe? Or are you going to be the same person you was last year? I mean, you look back on the first year and say, yeah, I should have set a goal. I will someday. No, you won't. No, you won't. Today is our day. I'm telling you, we got some goals to see 200 on Sunday morning. Olden said, I've got almost some to my account today. I'm working on some visitors. And I want you to, you know, hallelujah. What's your goal? Where do you want to be? You're not satisfied. You know this is not where God ordained you to be. Where do you want to be in 6 months, a year, 3 months? Take the step. Would you make it specific? Would you make it measurable? Know that it's attainable and relevant, and would you take the step? Father, thank you for encouraging us and showing us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that you have a purpose for every person in this building. Some of us may have been off the beaten path. Some may be coming back on today. Some may be on the wrong path, and who knows what area. Only they know. They may be one of the faithful few. They may be, you know, a giant in one area and a failure in another. We all struggle with areas. And so we ask today, Holy Spirit, that you would come and shine a light on our heart and begin to help us to set God-honoring goals in our life. And to say, as we look at these categories, we'll say, I won't be the same in this category this time next year. This time at the end of the year in 6 months, whatever time they put on it, Lord, they'll make it time specific, but they'll say, I won't be the same. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and stirring us in our heart today. We ask in Jesus' name that you would just begin to move and build faith. Give us faith in areas that we don't have faith in Jesus' name. Right now, so we can achieve our goals. Just like you gave David faith to go out on the battlefield. Just like you gave Jesus faith to turn the water into wine. Give us that kind of faith, Lord. And assurance as we step out on the battlefield, as we make our goals and set them in order, we ask you to give us that kind of faith so we can achieve in Jesus' name. And we can be all that you've called us to be for the glory of God, because we want to make a difference and we want to look like God to a lost and dying world. And we know we do that as we fulfill your purpose for our lives. So these goals, Lord, are about fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. They're God-honoring, and we ask you to help us today in Jesus' name. Help us to be clear and help us to set them and to take the first step and honor You with what You've given us. With all the gifts and all the intelligence and everything You've given us, to start that step and take it in Jesus' name. You want to change lives. You want to do some great things through people in this room. And it's our desire, God, to measure up to what You've given us. To be all that You've called us to be. And we thank You in advance for helping us to accomplish that this year in Jesus' name. Amen. While Christians are praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you need Christ, you need to get back on the path, you need to make a new start, you need to rededicate your life, you need Christ for the first time ever in your life to really be a disciple, we just want to close with that prayer for you. Is there one today and you say, I need to be in a better place. I need a spiritual renewal today in my life. If you're here, if you'd raise your hand, we'd love to pray with you. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Thank you very much. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank You for the honesty. We ask that You would take this person to the next level of spiritual maturity. Take them, Lord, where they are and wash them clean of anything that doesn't look like Jesus. And if you would, just pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for what doesn't look like You. Replace it with the blood of Jesus Christ and with holiness that only You can provide. I receive that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All the church.